This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2093. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded July 1st, Australia, Chile, China, Egypt, Ethiopia, Greece, Kashmir, Japan, Korea, North and South, Madagascar, Myanmar, Netherlands, Oklahoma, Peru, Romania, Sweden, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Looking at the website of Unique Radio Australia, uniqueradio.biz, I notice that there's nothing about shortwave anymore, 3210, nor anything about World of Radio. Tim Gaynor explains, yes, unfortunately, I've decided to discontinue shortwave and to continue with music online podcast, which seems to be more popular. So thanks anyway to Tim Gaynor for carrying World of Radio for quite some time. Lucio Otavio Bobrovich in Brazil has again logged those low-powered Chilean shortwave stations, which we suspect are not licensed, on 6210 Radio Compañía Worldwide, June 21st from 2205 to 2215 UT, at this time relaying Radio Portales 1180 from Santiago. They've also carried RCI Radio Chile on the same frequency previously. And on 5825 Radio Triunfal Evangelica presumed, June 24th at midnight 3 to midnight 11 in Spanish, a speech before an audience. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard reports, after an absence since May 16th, Voice of Strait, China, heard testing on June 30th on both 4900 and 4940 in parallel for a brief period around 1233 UT. And also on July 1st, from 1036, they were again heard in parallel, although they have not always been. Interference from Columbia on 4940. Radio Cairo, Egypt is still not back on shortwave, at least for English broadcasts, but in the British TX Club, Peter Jones reported June 30th, they'd got an email from them after he inquired about shortwave that live streaming is now working. It's at www.onlinehorizons.net and then further links, such as English to Europe at 2115 UT. I tuned in and actually heard that webcast, including a time signal that 2131 and some news in brief, which seemed to be current. The imaginary shortwave frequency at that time is 9720. Arthur Posner near New York City reported June 25th at 1515, a new frequency for an Ethiopian program, 17750 at 15 UT. White noise for very strong jamming as well. This has not been listed anywhere, but at the same hour there is listed a broadcast on 17870 via France from Dimsi Tigray Media House. And checking again on June 27th, I found that 17870 was missing, so it looks likely that moved to 17750. Furthermore, on that occasion, it was not 1 hour long, but up to 2 hours long. I was hearing it well via a remote in Kuwait. Wolfgang Büschel is convinced the jamming is from the Ethiopian site at Gedja. But how effective could jamming from inside Ethiopia be, I wonder, on such a high frequency due to the skip zone? Could it be the Ethiopians are getting help from an outside site for jamming? Richard Langley in New Brunswick enjoys a program on the third program of Greek radio, carried on shortwave 9420 by the Voice of Greece. It's called The Long Journey of Day into Night, hosted by Kostas Kanavouris, between 20 and 21 UT, featuring very pleasant modern instrumental music, such as Amabant by the Sven Helbig Fauré Quartet. Not clear whether this is every day, but his report was on a Saturday. And also I wonder if that title of the program is really in English. It's interesting to monitor 15170 Tuesdays at 15 to 1530 UT. As we reported before on June 15th, it was the clandestine Kashmir Civitas. But on the following Tuesday, the 22nd, it was Sounds Irish, music. And then on the following Tuesday, June 29th, It was back to Kashmir Civitas in Urdu. Also reported by Arthur Posner in New York, he says it was the same program in Urdu received in several countries, and he heard an ID in Russian for "This is Inter Radio Romania," meaning that's the transmitter site. Harold Sellers was also hearing it fairly well in British Columbia Direct. In the British DX Club, Tony Rogers found a YouTube upload, as of June 30th, by Kashmir Civitas called "Naya Pais Kat Episode 4, saying, "Kashmir Civitas has relaunched our shortwave radio broadcasts inside the disputed territory of Jammu and Kashmir. We will not be silenced." Shiokaze, or Seabreeze, from Japan about North Korean abductions, made their monthly frequency changes by June 30th, as observed by Ron Howard, for the 13 to 14 UT broadcast now on 5965 and 7295. And yes, the English hour has been moved from Thursdays to Wednesdays. The segments include today's news flash, today's news on North Korea issues, message from the Japanese government. And unjammed on that first day, the North Koreans are still jamming the previous frequencies 5935 and 6040. The repeat broadcast at 16 to 17 UT is on 5920 and 6165, as reported by Hiroshi, Japan. A critique from Alan Holder, Isle of Wight, about KBS World Radio, South Korea. 15575, the North American service at 13 UT, is also heard in the UK with a weak-to-fair signal from about May until early September. It's almost unusable after 1355 when VOA Botswana signs on 15580. The European service on 11810 has the same problem as North America. It is only heard for a few months in the summer, but completely dead for the rest of the year. A power boost to 250 kilowatts made a slight improvement. When it does come through, the signal is poor to fair and always with annoying flutter fading. He says, "I've tried to persuade KBS to move English to 08UT on 15160, which would work well for Europe throughout the year, but to no avail. I'm pretty sure the South American services don't reach their target either. KBS is using 11 MHz from 01 to 04 UT, while, according to propagation charts, 17 MHz is the only band which would work. Their technical people really need to do a course in radio propagation theory." And the number of dummy entries they have on the ITU and HFCC databases is amazing. Some of their frequencies listed have not been used for some 30 years. When I corresponded with their deputy director of engineering 20 years ago, he informed me the only antenna for North America is designed for the 15 to 16 megahertz band. It really needs to be replaced with a multi-band design. So says Alan Holder, who is, by the way, a KBS technical monitor. Ron Howard observes this week's frequencies for the clandestines from South to North Korea as of Monday, June 28th. Echo of Hope, abbreviated VOH at 1220 UT, was heard on 3985, 4880, 5995, 6245, 6350, and 9095 kHz. But the other one, VOP, at 1225 UT, came into another week with no changes, including 6600 kHz. That frequency was jammed by North Korea, of course, and Wolfgang Büschel, using a remote in Hiroshima or Tokyo, Japan, has been hearing the second harmonic of the jammer measured on 13199.882, noise jamming against Voice of the People, at 1412 UT, June 30th. It was 45 kHz wide on 6600. Many missionary stations carry a brief segment every day called Creation Moments. Larry Well in Maryland ran across one from World Christian Broadcasting Africa, Madagascar, 13670, June 7th at 1825. He says it was a weird Christian broadcast belittling space travel, talking about a purported 2,200-year-old airplane model in Egypt, another young earth creationist pseudoscience outfit. In fact, you may want to read more about it at rationalwiki.org. That's where it says, as creationist sites go, it's probably one of the funnier ones to read, and that's saying something. Their piece about the lungfish is pure gold. Kari Kallio in Finland sends an article from restofworld.org, dated April 13th, by Peter Guest. Young Burmese activists are broadcasting anti-coup messages on pirate radio. In a safe house in Yangon, a small group of 20-somethings gathered to assemble a portable radio transmitter. For several hours, they broadcast translations of international news into Burmese, tributes to protesters killed by the armed forces, revolutionary songs and poems, interviews with leaders of Myanmar's civil disobedience movement that has sprung up to oppose the military junta that seized power in February. Then they dismantle the equipment, each person taking a different piece by a different route to another safe location where they store it. Security is tight. They never broadcast from the same place twice. And the group use aliases, even among themselves. This is Federal FM Radio, live on 90.2 MHz. Ron Howard sends another article about this from the CFR.org website. Federal FM Radio airs twice a week to deliver pro-federalist coverage of the protests that is free of any military influence. They're also very much involved with social media. And yet a third story about this from voanews.com with a bit more detail. Federal FM Radio went live on April 1st at 90.2 MHz. Its targeted broadcasting days are on Thursdays and Sundays. Too bad on FM only, we'll have a tough time hearing that very far away. Ron Howard does listen to the government's Myanmar radio on shortwave, 5985. He says Wednesday, June 30th at 1249 to 1300, there was an identical English language lesson called Say It in English. For the first time, he heard back on August 7th, 2017, and repeated on February 5th, 2018 and April 28th of this year. He says it's still fun to listen to the comical misadventures of Tom. Certainly one of the most entertaining language lessons on shortwave, and infinitely better than learning English with BBC Burmese. In the British DX Club, Alan Pennington says there are two new Dutch stations registered on shortwave. According to HFCC, starting June 28th, Radio Europe Netherlands. Daily 24 hours available on 5975 with 1 kilowatt. Also newly registered, starting 29 July, is Offshore Music Radio, OMR. Daily 24 hours available with 1 kilowatt on these five frequencies, 6170, 7215, 7275, 15270, and 17515. Transmitter site is Nijmegen, in a city in the eastern Netherlands near the German border. Their website is omr-oldies.com. But it appears to be on the air already, already reported by Joachim Thiel in Germany on the ADX group via Wolfgang Büschel as of June 27th. He got a reply confirming his reception report on 6170. They said, "It's great to have you on board since yesterday with a license after 45 years as a pirate. We mostly use two frequencies. In the daylight, 6170, and around 1430, that might be UT plus 2, switch to 7215. Via satellite, internet, and terrestrial radio, World of Radio 2093, a non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. No new thanks for financial support can be rendered this week, which might have been sent via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com, or in U.S. funds by check or money order on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. One of the few aeronautical beacons on the 500 kHz band is back on the air, PN, in Ponca City, Oklahoma, on 515 kHz. I heard it June 26th and still on June 29th. I tune across there just about every day or night, and the last time I had heard it was July 30th of last year. There have been some other outages previously. Also, EI here in Enid is still on the air on 342 kHz, but 255SW in Stillwater is still missing. More logs of the recently reactivated Cusco Peruvian, just below 6174, Radio Tawantinsuyo, from Lucio Otavio Bobrovich in Embu, São Paulo, Brazil. June 22nd at 2317 to 2324, talks in Quechua and Spanish. Likewise, on June 26th, heard from 2300 to 2308. Most transmissions of Radio Romania International are lacking at least one of their scheduled frequencies. Stephen Lewis in Houston, Texas, says he found an item on, or heard an item on their English newscast at midnight UT July 1st, and then it's also on their website. It says, transmitter Radiocom, the company broadcasting RRI's programs, has announced a new series of repair works carried out on a transmitter in Chiganeshchi, close to Bucharesti. The company is stepping up efforts to mend the transmitter and render it operational by August this year. Unfortunately, the defective transmitter is presently affecting the RRI English Transmissions Beam 2, New York, Los Angeles, London, Tokyo, and Australia. The transmissions in French to Montreal and Central Africa, in Russian to Moscow and Novosibirsk, in German to Berlin, in Spanish to Mexico, Madrid, Buenos Aires, and Brazil, and in Chinese to Beijing. He says this transmitter has been out of service for over 2 months, such as English to North America at midnight, not on 9550, and at 0300, not on 7375. Lots of special broadcasts coming up in early July. And if you're listening to one of our later repeats this week, it may already be too late, but for those hearing us as soon as possible, the annual Alex Sanderson Day transmission from SAQ in Sweden is Sunday, 4 July. The Alex Sanderson alternator from 1924 on VLF 17.2 kHz CW. Sunday, July 4th, they were planning to carry out only two broadcasts to the world from this. Only the required staff will be in place due to the ongoing pandemic. All times I mention, of course, universal as are the dates. Startup and tuning at 0830 and the message at 0900. And then again at 1130 and the message at 12 UT. There will also be live video from the World Heritage Grimeton radio station on YouTube. More info at the website alexander.n.se. That info from Medium Wave Echo of the Arctic Radio Club. On June 29th and 30th, from about 1435 until off just after 15 UT, I was hearing some kind of beepery on 13705, immediately adjacent to Havana, Cuba on 13700. In fact, at first it seemed like both these transmissions were coming out of Cuba. However, on June 30th, Walt Salmaniv checked it out and identified it as VOA. It was in MFSK 32. He was using FL Digi. There was a brief message in Spanish and English. Please send your reception report to mdial at usagm.gov. Gracias por recibir y decodificar este texto por radio de la Voz de América. Which Walt did and soon got a reply in English from Macon M. Dial, the supervisory electronics engineer at the Grimesland, also known as Greenville, transmitter site. His brief explanation: this was just a generic test transmission using the familiar radiogram format, power about 70 kilowatts. We checked for this again on July 1st, but it was no longer there. I say it's still questionable about how this was mixed up with Radio Havana, Cuba, and why they happened to pick such an adjacent frequency. Some World of Radio schedule changes via WRMI, although still on the schedule grid the last I checked. On Wednesday, June 30th at 22 UT, something else was airing in Spanish on 9955. However, I see there is a new time I did not know about, Tuesday at 1330 UT on 15770. Also remember a couple of our relatively new times on WRMI, UT Saturday at 0130 on 9395, and Sunday at 2230 on 9955. The following info is not too late if you're listening to our very first broadcast on WRMI from Bill Tilford. It's for Canada Day, D'EH. July 1st, of course, is Canada Day, and since RCI is no longer blessing shortwave listeners with its presence on shortwave, Fred Waterer, a genuine Canadian and Uncle Bill Tilford, an American who is frequently mistaken for one, will present Canada Day, an affectionate salute to the occasion with music, humor, fun facts, and stories on WBCQ The Planet, which is right next door to Canada, with time donated by Angela and Alan Wiener. That is UT Friday, July 2nd at 0200 on both 6160 and 7490. On WBCQ Alan Weiner Worldwide, June 26th, he mentioned that from July 1st, there would be a lot more Overcomer ministry on BCQ. And in fact, Richard Langley, nearby in New Brunswick, was hearing 6160 on the air earlier in the afternoon with the Overcomer. But for most of the hour, Alan was very upset. He said unnamed forces are trying to take down his shortwave station out of jealousy, ignorance, or hatred. They will be punished. We are under attack. We know who the perpetrators are, and they will not succeed. Ben Cobb has dug out some public documents buried in the FCC website about WBCQ, especially with regard to the sale of WHRI. The delay could be for many reasons, but an objection has been filed. The FCC may be trying to ascertain whether there are any issues of concern, such as foreign nationals being the real parties in interest of U.S. radio stations. The FCC heavily redacted one of the documents, but one can deduce that the Egyptian party funding the 9330 superstation and the proposed WHRI purchase and the contemplated acquisition of other U.S. HF stations is the Flat Earth Faith Impresario Galal P. Doss, D-O-S-S, of World's Last Chance. That redacted document is in fact a letter dated last October from Alan's sister, Barbara Weiner. It is titled, Alan Weiner is Fronting for a Foreign National for WBCQ Shortwave in Monticello, Maine. My brother is fronting for a foreign national named Redacted, a billionaire from Egypt, who approached my brother in 2017 and has been funding my brother for the superstation WBCQ. He has allowed him to transmit on one of his frequencies, 9330, on a separate piece of land which is owned by the family. He sent $400,000 to buy the property. I viewed the closing documents, and it explicitly stated the property was to be owned by World's Last Chance Ministry. Alan Weiner was not to be a partner, but would be given $100,000. As a finder's fee, and Redacted has sent my brother millions of dollars to build this tremendous antenna on the land that Weiner fronted for. Redacted has sent Alan Weiner the $1,250,000 to buy WHRI in South Carolina. They are now waiting for FCC approval. An accompanying document from FCC says, among other things, the email prompted a number of internal FCC staff discussions, but its existence was not disclosed to the applicant until March 26, 2021, nearly 6 months later. Nor did the applicant have any inkling that this had become a restricted proceeding under ex parte rules. Applicant will address the contentions in Barbara Weiner's email at an appropriate time. Confidential treatment is not sought for that email. Via Terry Colgan, publicity from Texas Radio Shortwave, will host a series of one-hour programs by European free radio and low-power licensed stations during July and August every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, UT Saturday at 0200 on WRMI 5800. These popular stations are heard regularly in Europe, but seldom in North America because of propagation conditions. So here are the plans for July. On the 3rd, Radio Igloo from Sweden. On the 10th, Charleston Radio International from Germany. 17th, Radio Merlin, UK. 24th, Radio Monique International from the Netherlands. And July 31st, Cool AM Radio from the Netherlands. Via the Michigan ARE tip sheet, a reminder that WNJC, 1360 in Washington Township, New Jersey, near Camden, has been carrying out DX tests every night in June. And they're also doing it in July, but with a different setup. Here are the details from July 1st through 7th at 0400 UT until 0900, a hybrid DX test, daytime power of 5 kilowatts into an omnidirectional pattern. Test material, CW only at 800, 900, and 1,000 Hz, along with simultaneous transmission of FT8, the computer mode. It's used by hams to communicate over long distances at very low power levels. Receiving it is even easier just by putting a microphone from your computer close to the receiver's speaker and using the decoding software. Actually, they did this before, and it was received nationwide in several countries. You can find a tutorial about it on YouTube, Getting Started in FT8. However, on July 4th, there's a special test for Independence Day, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, midnight UT, until 6 a.m., 1000 UT. Now, does that mean July 5th UT? They don't make that clear. Test material will consist of voice IDs, jingles, Morse code IDs, sweep tones, and special patriotic music and sound effects. QSLs for the first week of July tests will be handled by the Courtesy Program Committee of NRC and IRCA, which has some very specific QSL requirements. Too detailed for me to go into here, but they have been published on the web. The July 4th special, however, QSL requests will be processed directly by the chief engineer of WNJC, John Duke Hammond, with different requirements. In the June 22nd issue of Radio World, an article by Randy J. Stein. Low-power 250 FM petition draws lots of interest. Most comments are positive, but NAB objects to a total overhaul of LPFM. Proponents of a power increase for low-power FM stations in the U.S. can point to hundreds of comments in favor of raising the maximum power level for many stations to 250 watts. But the National Association of Broadcasters continues to express strong opposition. That would be an increase from the current maximum of 100 watts. At 250, the effective service contour would be about 4.5 miles. In July, VHF UHF Digest of the WTFDA, Doug Smith writes more about Franken FM survival question mark. Several stations on Channel 6 requested permission to leave their analog oral carrier in operation while converting the video signal to digital. This doesn't work in TSC 1, and FCC has not granted such requests. That occupies the entire 6 MHz channel. You could potentially notch out enough of the video signal at the top to fit in analog audio, but then an ATSC-1 receiver could not decode the video. ATS-3 is different. KBKF, LD in San Jose, California, believes they can notch out 491 at the top of the channel and fit in an oral signal without precluding decoding of ATS-3 digital TV. FCC staff seems leery but not entirely unwilling to entertain the experiment. They will be allowed to try it with 7 conditions, including the oral signal must be broadcast on 87.75, not 0.7 or 0.8. On a related note, Jampro, a manufacturer of broadcast antennas, advertises a product called the Sidekick, a combiner that allows connecting an ATS-3 TV transmitter on Channel 6 and an FM radio transmitter on 87.7 to the same antenna without interaction. Specifically marketed towards this type of operation that KBKF plans. The termination event is an interesting article at spaceweather.com, June 10th by Dr. Tony Phillips. Something big may be about to happen on the sun, says Scott McIntosh at NCAR. It's very, very close. If you've never heard of the termination event, you're not alone. Many researchers have never heard of it either. It's a relatively new idea in solar physics. Vast bands of magnetism are drifting across the surface of the sun. When oppositely charged bands collide at the equator, they annihilate or terminate. There's no explosion. This is magnetism, not antimatter. But the termination event is a big deal. It can kickstart the next solar cycle into a higher gear. The propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder. ANKNSE is peaking at 12 and 4, July 4th and 13th, 15 and 4 on the 12th. Solar flux peaking at 92, July 2nd to 5th, and down to 80 by July 15th. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2093 with a standard disclaimer.